You are listening to the Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of the Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 184, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today, we will read number 12, The Feeding of the 5,000. When next morning, Jesus and the apostles returned to the mount upon which he had already taught several times on the eight Beatitudes, he found the multitude assembled. The other apostles had arranged the sick in sheltered places. Jesus and the apostles began to heal and to instruct. Many who in those days had now come for the first time to Capernaum knelt in a circle to receive baptism. The water which had been brought for that purpose in leathern bottles was sprinkled over them there at a time. The mother of Jesus had come with the other women, and she now helped among the sick women and children. She did not exchange words with Jesus, but returned betimes to Capernaum. Jesus taught of the eight Beatitudes and went as far as the sixth. The instruction on prayer, begun at Capernaum, he repeated and explained some of the petitions of the Our Father. Teaching and healing went on till after 4 o'clock, and all this time, the listening crowds had nothing to eat. They had now followed from the day before, and the scanty provisions they had brought with them were exhausted. Many among them were quite weak and languishing for nourishment. The apostles, noticing this, approached Jesus with the request that he would close the instruction in order that the people might hunt for lodgings for the night and procure food. Jesus replied, "They need not get away for that. Give them here something to eat." Philip made answer, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" This he said with some unwillingness, because he thought Jesus was about to lay upon them the fatigue of gathering up from the environs sufficient bread for all the crowd. Jesus answered, "See how many loaves you have," and went on with his discourse. There was in the crowd a servant who had been sent by his master with 5 loaves and 2 fishes as a present to the apostles. Andrew told this to Jesus with the words, "But what is that among so many?" Jesus ordered the loaves and fishes to be brought, and when they were laid on the sod before him, he continued the explanation of the petition for daily bread. Many of the people were fainting, and the children were crying for bread. Then Jesus, in order to try Philip, asked him, "Where shall we buy bread that these people may eat?" And Philip answered, 200 pennyworth would not be sufficient for all this crowd." Jesus said, "Let the people be seated, the most famished by 50s, the others in groups of 100, and bring me the baskets of bread that you have at hand." The disciples set before him a row of shallow baskets woven of bread strips of bark, such as were used for bread. Then they scattered among the people, whom they arranged in 50s and 100s, all down a terraced mountain, which was clothed with grass, beautiful and long. Jesus was above the people, seated below him on the mountainside. Near the place upon which Jesus taught was a high mossy bank, in which were several caves. On it, Jesus directed a broad napkin to be spread, upon which were deposited the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The loaves lay one upon the other on the napkin. They were long and narrow, about 2 inches in thickness. The crust was thin and yellow, and the inside, though not perfectly white, was close and fine. They were marked with stripes to make it more easy to break them or cut them with a knife. The fish were of a good arm's length. Their arms were somewhat projecting, not like our fish. Cut up, roasted, and ready for eating, they lay upon large leaves. Another man had brought a couple of honeycombs, and they too were laid on the napkin. When the disciples numbered the people and seated them in fifties and hundreds, as Jesus had directed, he cut the five loaves with a bone knife and the fish, which had been split down lengthwise. He divided into cross pieces. After that, he took one of the loaves in his hands, raised it on high, and prayed. He did the same with one of the fish. I do not remember whether he did the same with the honey or not. Three of the disciples were at his side. Jesus now blessed the bread, the fish, and the honey and began to break the cross sections into pieces and these again into smaller portions. Every portion immediately increased to the original size of the loaf, and on its surface appeared, as before, the dividing lines. Jesus then broke the individual pieces into portions sufficiently large to satisfy a man and gave with each a piece of fish. Saturnin, who was at his side, laid the piece of fish upon the portion of bread, and a young disciple of the Baptist, a shepherd's son who later on became a bishop, laid upon each a small quantity of honey. There was no perceptible diminution in the fish, and the honeycomb appeared to increase. Thaddeus laid the portions of bread upon which were the fish and honey in the flat baskets, which were then borne away to those most in need, who sat in the fifties and were served first. As soon as the empty baskets were brought back, they were exchanged for full ones. And so the work went on for about 2 hours, until all had been fed. That they had a wife and children, and these were separated from the men, found their portion so large that they could abundantly share with them. The people drank of the water that had been conveyed thither in a leathern bottle. Most of them used cups formed of bark, folded into the shape of a cone, and others had with them hollow gourds. The whole affair was conducted most expeditiously and with perfect order. The apostles and disciples were, for the most part, occupied in carrying the baskets here and there and in distributing their contents. But all were silent and filled with amazement at the sight of such a multiplication. The size of the loaves were about 2 spans, or 18 inches in length, and a fifth less in breadth. They were divided by ridges into 20 parts, 5 in length and 4 in breadth, so that the substance of every one of those parts increased 50-fold in order to feed 5,000 men. The bread was a good 3 fingers in thickness. The fish were cut in 2 lengthwise. Jesus divided each half into numerous portions. It was only the 2 fish all the time, for it was in substance and not in number that they were most wonderfully increased. When all had satisfied their hunger, Jesus bade the disciples to go around with the baskets and gather up the scraps, that nothing might be lost. They collected 12 baskets full. A great many of the people asked to take some of the pieces home with them as souvenirs. There were no soldiers present this time, though I was accustomed to see many at all the other great instructions. They had been called to Hesabon, where Herod was then sojourning. When the people arose from their meal, they gathered everywhere in groups, full of wonder and admiration at this miracle of the Lord. From mouth to mouth ran the word, "This man is genuine. He is the prophet that was to come into the world. He is the promised one." It was now growing dusk, so Jesus bade the disciples to go to their barks and cross before him to Bethsaida. Meanwhile, he would take leave of the people and then follow. The disciples obeyed. Taking the baskets of bread, they went down to the ships, and some of them crossed over to Bethsaida at once. The apostles and some of the older disciples remained behind a little longer, and then departed on Peter's bark. Jesus now dismissed the multitude, who were deeply moved. Scarcely had he left the spot upon which he had been teaching, when the shout arose, "He has given us bread. He is our king. We will make him our king." But Jesus disappeared into the solitude and there gave himself up to prayer. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. You know, one of the things in our reading from the previous day, it was about the miracle of that withered hand. And it said that his hand was straightened instantly. A miracle is that which is instantaneous, long-lasting, and unexplainable. Today in our reading, we have a miracle. Instantaneously, the people are fed. Long-lasting, I guess, you know, in the sense that the miracle endured while all were fed. Unexplainable. We hear with precise details how many loaves, how many fish, how they were cut up, all of those details Anne Catherine Emmerich gives us, how Jesus cuts the loaves, all of that. And yet all these people are fed. You and I, we both know that this is a foreshadowing of the Holy Eucharist. And we even heard that he continued the explanation of the petition for daily bread. That daily bread first in the desert for the hungry people, coming down as manna. People now hungry, hungry for the teaching of Jesus, but hungry also, we heard, some were fainting, others crying for food. So this daily bread that Jesus gives, they're going to seek out the Lord because they want to be fed again, because they've eaten this miraculous, this supernatural, this multiplied bread. But we know that this all leads to the Holy Eucharist, when Jesus takes bread, blesses it, gives thanks, and gives it to his apostles. I thought it was beautiful, also what we heard in our reading today. It said that after he took one of the loaves in his hands, raised it on high and prayed. He did the same with one of the fish. Raises it, prays. We give thanks to God for every meal when we say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive. We thank God for his goodness, for his generosity, his benevolence to us. Jesus takes the bread, the fish, thanks God because he thanks his Father. Jesus knows what he and the Father are going to do in this moment. But he blesses the Father for what he's going to do in this great sign that is going to be given to the people. He has given us bread. He is our King. We will make him our King. But it wasn't time yet for Jesus to be crowned the King of Kings. And so he disappears from this group and he prays. I'm sure in that prayer, if we just want to imagine it, he prays to his Father, thanking the Father for feeding these people. He prays to the Father so that these people might experience who God is, that they might continue to have this longing and hunger for the Lord our God, that he prays for them because he knows their needs. That's what I think Jesus does, as he gives himself up to prayer after these events. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others. Email it to your friends, text the link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.